everyone, and welcome to the Blade Runner Minute. Twice a week we get together, my wife and I, and we talk about Blade Runner. And then we just go on with our lives. I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
And today's minute 67. Did I get that right? I know I was confused a little bit at first.
Yeah.
So it's 67. It starts with Rachel asking Deckard if he'd hunt her. Would you hunt me? And it ends with Rachel saying, the incept date. Sandra, what did you think about minute 67?
A lot of emotions happening here. I really got a different sense of Rachel, more to what you were talking about in the previous minute. You were thinking about her, about her plans, and how she seemed dangerous in the last minute.
For a few seconds.
And this one is where I got the sense of it. I started to get more of that sense of what you were speaking about. And he seemed Well, I'll get into that in a second. But okay. He seemed weaker. He always seemed strong through the whole movie. But this whole scene is where he really gets weaker. And it's power reversals.
The roles are reversed.
The power reversals are changed. You know, they start at the minute. And in the last minute, as she approached him in the bathroom, she had that glow in her eyes.
Yeah.
But here you see it a little bit close up and that glow stays for a while. It's interesting how they made the glow.
Oh, you know how they made the glow?
I do know how they made the glow.
All right.
Do you want to talk about how they made the glow?
Let's compare notes because I took the first explanation I could find on Google and rolled with it. Let's see if your research was a little deeper than mine.
Well, it's a process developed by Fritz Lang.
Oh, wow. You're already way ahead of me. I just got a couple of words.
I don't know how to pronounce an umlaut. The two dots above a letter. It's
just,
called an umlaut.
Schuhundan?
I don't know. What Paul said. You could tell my vocabulary is based.
Schuften. It's called Schuften.
Schuften is what I think it is. Schuften. Okay. It's the Schuften process where they angle mirrors and lights at like a 40-degree angle to the actor's eyes to catch it so it doesn't hurt them or distract them while they're acting, but it shows up as the reflection in the camera.
From what you read, could you tell if the light that they're shining is going through the camera itself or is it just like next to the camera? It has to go through the camera, right? Then they have the reflective mirror in front of the lens.
I think it has to do with how they're reflecting the light into the person's eyes and then where the camera is getting it from. It was a lot of technical jargon that I'm not hip to. I know that they hold the mirrors at 40-degree angles to wherever with a light. I'm assuming it's more with they have to, you know, it has just angling a mirror to the camera won't give you that light. They have to angle the light into the actor's eyes.
Has to have something to angle from and to.
Right, because if they put a light in the person's eyes, I'm blind.
Relative angling.
They're going to look like a Mogwai. Bright light, and they won't be able to do those things. So, I don't know more details than that.
Yeah, no, I have much simpler. It's same exact thing, just dumbed down for Pete language. It's shine the light through the camera, through a two-way mirror. That's it. I looked at a whole bunch of paragraphs. I'm looking at this stuff, and I broke it all down in my head. I'm like, all right, so basically, you shine a light through the camera. Wait, yeah, I saw the process, the guy, whatever. But you shine a light through the camera into a two-way mirror that was angled relative to the actor's eye and the camera lens, and that's how they got the effect most of the time. Sometimes it was an accident.
And
they don't talk about that.
You think it was an accident?
The first time was an accident.
It's a process developed.
See, we can't talk about that until the next minute because there's a question that Rachel asks Deckard in 68 that connects with, because his is it this one? Deckard puts his hand on Rachel's shoulder and says, but somebody would. We're going to go back, by the way. I realize we're in the middle of the minute. We're going to back up. But
we tend to do that a lot when we talk around the minute.
Deckard's eyes are glowing, too. You think that was collateral reflection? because they were just trying to get the shine in her eye, and that's why he's not out of focus?
I think so, but all these people who say that Deckard is a replicant? No, that isn't a replicant.
Isn't a replicant?
Who worked on the movie.
Why
would those people even be on the fence about it when the things that are going to happen in the next minute happen? And when you do see a glow in his eyes that match the other replicants.
Yeah. It doesn't happen to anybody else.
I think everybody was confused, and I've said it before.
I thought you were about to say, I think everybody's a replicant.
Everybody's a replicant, no. I think everybody was confused while doing this. I think no one had a clear understanding, and they kept changing their minds about what they wanted, and probably not informing their colleagues about what they were going for.
Right. Well, like, Ridley Scott definitely played everything close to the chest.
Like Luke and Leia being brother and sister. That clearly was not supposed to happen from the very beginning.
Okay.
And then he suddenly changed his mind. I just changed my mind, so I'm going to do it. But he had extra movies to play that out in rather than one movie.
I don't think Luke and Leia were meant to be brother and sister.
That's what I'm saying. He changed his mind. And he had more than one movie to space that out and ease you into it. You know, the end of one and the rest of another.
Yeah, Lucas just needed a reason for Leia not to hook up with Luke.
Exactly.
Because he decided to keep Indiana Jones alive because he had this other franchise that he wanted to tie in and sell a bunch of merchandise.
Exactly. So here they just changed their minds, but they changed it while filming the one movie they were going to do.
Possibly.
Possibly. Well, I have a theory on sequels that sequels are not what we...
Wait, no. I thought you meant in Blade Runner.
In Blade Runner.
Within Blade Runner.
Yes.
You're saying he changed his mind between now and 2049?
During production. Because so, these are standalones.
Right.
Most of the movies we had growing up were not sequels unless they were comedies or... kid movies, really. You didn't really see... You don't see The Graduate, too, you know? You don't see Breakfast at Tiffany's again.
Right, right.
You don't see The Wizard of Oz again, even though it was clearly a series of books.
I don't mean to distract you, by the way. I keep looking at the sound wave on the...
Yeah.
On the computer. I'm just concerned that they look a little... It looks a little small.
Compared to
normal. My hard drive went...
Tell them what really happened.
I Donkey Konged the shit out of my laptop. Oh, wow.
Do the noise from the original Donkey Kong.
And anyway.
He hit it with a hammer.
I got a little upset with my laptop, and I did a little smashy, and my hard drive had to be replaced. So when I re-downloaded Audacity, which is the program we use to record these podcasts.
Because we're really, really
it's
cheap.
It's a newer version of Audacity, and I was just too lazy to look for the older version of Audacity. So now I'm a bit concerned about the way this thing... is operating. We didn't even test it. We're just recording.
Two turntables and a microphone.
No, a laptop and a microphone.
Same difference.
It's completely different.
Only nerds like us have turntables at home anymore, okay?
So anyway, I'm sorry. I don't mean to throw you off if you see me looking at the computer.
They can't see, only I...
I'm talking to you, Sandra.
Are you going to edit this out?
No, okay. I'll keep it in. What?
You can keep it in there. Expect us to be disorganized.
It's an honest moment.
You stop watching it? Maybe we're sitting further away.
No, I'm sure it's fine.
Okay. Don't crush any of my shoes that are underneath you.
So the minute really begins with her asking, would you hunt me? It's a continuation from minute 66 where she said, I'll go north. I'll go to Canada.
She didn't say Canada.
I'll go play hockey in Canada.
And I didn't have a chance to look that up.
Would you come after me? Would you hunt me?
She said, would you hunt me? The first time I watched this minute, I thought she said, hurt me.
I did too. I had to rewind.
I watched it 3 times and then I said, hurt me?
Or hump.
No.
Hump me.
I didn't
Would
think
you hump me?
No.
I was hoping like hell. No. I'm kidding. And he says, no, I wouldn't. I owe you one.
And he was drying his hair. Yeah. And he stops drying his hair and he goes, he takes a big gulp. Like he does a big swallow.
No.
And you see his Adam's apple move and he goes, no. And he shakes his head. No, I wouldn't. It's so deep into it, man.
And my next line...
And then he rubs his eye with the towel that he just wiped his hair in because that's how you get pink eye. And he goes, I owe you one. He took all that cute sentiment of, I may be falling in love with you. No, I wouldn't.
Well, that's
and then just goes, I owe you one.
Well, that's the detective noir of the film. Yeah, that's the... You can't have your lead in this movie be so vulnerable and romantic and mushy. He has to... He gets a little soft and sweet and then brings it on. Pal, buddy, like, he'll, you know what I mean? He'll slap her on the shoulder.
So obviously...
Can I just mention for a moment something I noticed, a note I took?
Okay.
It's just a single line. It says Harrison Ford's sexy ass hairy chest.
Oh my God, I totally was going to talk about that. I wanted to talk about how refreshing it is to see a man on the screen with a hairy chest.
He turns around and he's telling her, no, don't worry about it. You're cool. We're cool. We're good. We're buddies. And they give the pound and the fist bump. And I'm just looking at him. I'm like, why can't I just stop eating pork cracklings? Why can't I stop?
Because they're too delicious. Not pork rinds, mind you. Pork cracklings.
With the Red Bulls and the fried chicken and all the shit that I put in my body. Just get fit to look like Harrison Ford. In Blade Runner. Why?
Because he's really skinny in this movie.
Is he really, really skinny?
Yeah, it was just the style in L.A. Get it? The style in L.A.?
Oh, my God. People don't get it, actually. Explain it. Explain it, super nerd. Super nerd 5000.
Peter watches a lot of Aqua
Teen. Don't blame Peter for this one.
Whoever puts it on, though.
And who laughs at it while I have it on?
Because I laugh at you.
That was an Aqua Teen Hunger Force reference.
It was an Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Okay, so he grabs the bottle.
Wait. Oh, I want to talk about this hairy chest thing.
Hairy chest.
So he has this hairy chest on display for the whole world.
You're
to
blushing
see.
Right now talking about Harrison Ford's hairy chest.
It's a nice hairy chest. What can you say? I don't have a problem with hairless chests. I just think that it's refreshing to see a hairy chest. And the other day I put on Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
The
Marilyn Monroe, Jane Russell movie.
Sure.
And Katerina was there with me because I wanted to watch something that was slightly wholesome.
Katerina's our daughter. She's 6.
Yes. She really didn't care. She just asked, who are these people on the screen dancing and
singing
all the time?
How come none of these people have lightsabers?
And there's a scene where Jane Russell meets an Olympic team on the cruise ship and she goes to work out with them in the gym on the cruise ship. Don't even ask. And all the men are wearing these little tiny booty shorts.
Right.
With these hairy chests and the hairy legs. And I was like, look at all these hairy chests. And even their legs were covered with so much hair that
I thought.
At first I was like, that guy's legs are dirty. And then I realized, no, that's how much hair he has on his legs. I was like, wow, here they are wearing these booty shorts,
right.
And nobody made them shave or wax, and I was really impressed with that.
Why is that such a popular thing? It always has been for men to get rid of the hair.
It wasn't always. Because look at Harrison Ford. In the 80s, you would see Tom Selleck come out with
70s too. 70s was big.
Yeah, anything
mustaches,
before,
beards,
anything
afros.
Before the 90s. Because then they had these weak little men who would be on screen, and they didn't grow a lot of chest hair because they were manly men.
Don't say that. There's lots of people listening that can't grow chest hair, probably.
I'm just saying the style became because the actors weren't manly-looking actors with the chest hair.
Yeah.
So it also played better on the screen, and it just became the style. Like, the models were shaving their chests, and it slowly trickled down to everyone else. And now we think that if a man doesn't shave his chest or wax it, that he's ugly, I guess.
Zach
I don't know.
That he's Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, either he's the comedy sidekick if he doesn't. Like, that's just it, right? He's the comedy sidekick if he doesn't manscape that way.
I'm trying to think of a male lead. A male lead nowadays that had a big old beard and a hairy chest. And to be fair, though, I mean, what kind of movies do I watch?
But the Hemsworths are...
Yeah, beard and hairy chest. Doesn't he have a hairy chest in Thor? And
I don't think so.
I think he does.
I don't think so.
I think Hemsworth brought it back.
I don't think so.
Well, I think he might have. Anyway.
Bearded, but
I think
no
Rutherford,
hairy chest.
Name?
Evans.
Ruffalo. Mark Ruffalo. I think he, in Infinity War, might have had a little bit of hair
like
in the chest.
Like two little curls?
Might have been some hair in that chest. Why are we talking about that? Oh, because I brought up
Harrison Ford's sexy.
Sexy-ass hairy chest.
That's exactly what you said, the sexy-ass hairy chest.
So she asks if you're going to come up to Canada with me, and he says, no, don't worry about it, I'm good here. And then he walks out, grabs the bottle of vodka.
No bottle left behind. Leave the gun, take the cannolis.
leave the replicant, take the vodka. And he puts his hand on her shoulder.
And you see her eyes really glowing, and he rubs her shoulder. It's her right shoulder.
For a second, yeah.
He rubs it, and he says, but somebody would.
But somebody would.
He wouldn't do it. He's not going to hunt her. Because
no.
He owes her one.
No.
But somebody would.
Gaff's coming for your ass.
Gaff's coming.
Gaff's coming for you. At this moment, Deckard's eyes glow as well.
There's a slight glow to them. Yes,
there's
I noticed them. But it didn't feel like her glow. But maybe I want to see that because I don't think
he's a
replicant.
I don't know if it was an accident and they put him out of focus. He's out of focus.
Yes.
I mean, purposely, because the shot is about her. It's about Rachel. But he's still in the shot. It's a professional movie. This isn't some indie flick that was made in a basement somewhere. This is a big budget.
Maybe they didn't notice
film.
It until post-production, so
nothing
they couldn't
can,
do anything
nothing
about
can be
it.
In this movie by accident. His eyes are glowing because they were meant to glow.
There were things that happen by accident in movies all the time. That's why we have the Likert shorts
big,
on
though,
Russell Crowe. In Gladiator, you can clearly see his bicycle shorts. Why, you can clearly see the air tanks on the back of the chariots.
You know, the world is turning. Has turned on Russell Crowe.
I'm not turning on Russell Crowe. For like the past 10 years. I love Russell Crowe.
You don't talk about Russell Crowe or any of the movies he's been in. Do you forget the roots of our show? Russell Crowe is embedded in the soil, in the foundations of this show. I think we named an episode Russell Crowe, for Christ's sake. You don't talk ugly
our
about
Russell
Crowe in front of me.
Our first few episodes, all you did was say Sigourney Weaver over and over.
Sigourney Weaver. I had hoped that over the course of the show, of our review podcast, not our show, we don't do anything original, it's just a review.
That you'd grow up.
That we would develop our own
catchphrases.
With the exception of your...
Just to be clear,
I don't think we have another one. Except for maybe my I think is my catchphrase. I might do that. I make a t-shirt. In quotes. And then Pete. Dash Pete.
That sounds like a great idea.
But I'm always cringe at the pop culture references. But, you know, they happen in the moment. I feel like...
Our pop culture references?
Yeah, the ones that we make all the time. I don't like that we do that so much. I feel like we may rely on it too much.
In our normal lives... 30% at least of what comes out of our mouths
is a pop culture reference
that nobody gets. And we're just like, how do you not know that Friends quote? Everybody watches Friends, and people are like, yeah, I watch Friends all the time. I love it. And I'm like, how do you not know this?
Right, but what I meant was, this is our show. We should bring like an originality to it. And I don't feel like we do. I feel like we're just hacks.
We are hacks.
That I'm just constantly referring to Star Wars or WWF. And I think we should just quit.
Do you want to have them talk about why you're calling it WWF instead of WWE?
I was going to call it WWE right after that second W. I decided to spit the F out because I miss it. I do miss it. They've ruined my wrestling.
That sticker on your refrigerator always
confused me. Those stupid panda bears ruined my wrestling.
That sticker always confused me.
It's not the shitty performers or storylines or oversaturated TV time that they've given us. That ruined it. It's something. Yeah, what happened?
You were jostling the table a lot.
Could see the thing?
Yeah.
Really?
The whole monitor was shaking. You're a big brute.
No, but you saw the sound wave go?
I didn't know if it would affect it. How could I tell if the monitor itself was shaking? Oh. Like, the whole image was shaky. You want to test it again?
No. Thank you, though, for letting me know. I appreciate it. Then it cuts. So Deckard puts his hand on Rachel's shoulder. Mm-hmm. A really nice, touching moment, actually. I never noticed he puts his hand on his shoulder, but somebody would.
And he seems really remorseful about it. Seems very sad. But then she... What are you going
to
say?
Well, it cuts to a gorgeous wide shot of his...
No, before that, you don't notice that she slightly cocks her eyebrow, and she looks like she's planning something. Like, one eyebrow ticks
up. She's plotting.
Looks like she's planning something.
This is in connection to what you were saying earlier on when you felt... Now you feel like she's going to...
Some deception.
The roles have reversed, and now she's hunting. She's a Decepticon.
She's a Decepticon.
Well, either way, I love the shot, that wide shot of Deckard's apartment. The light comes through. It's a nice wall-to-wall shot of his windows.
Because there's no light on inside, and then there's all this light streaming in from outside.
It looks like Terrell's office a little bit.
And it leaves all these shadows, these long shadows that kind of trick your eyes.
Yep.
You know, I watch it on a phone, so I don't really see the details of, like, the bags sitting on his shelf or the bottles on his shelf. So all you see are these long shadows where you think, what's hiding behind the shadows? What's lurking there? And I think they really did that so you can feel that way in the movie, that there's so many other hidden things happening that you can't see because we live amongst the shadows.
That's part of his layering. Ridley Scott's layering. Did you like that movie, What We Do in the Shadows?
It was interesting.
It was good.
It was interesting. But I don't think I'd ever watch it again, but yes.
Anyway, what you're saying, all these things that are stacked up and piled up in front of each other and... creating all these different sources of shadows and textures. That's the layering that Ridley Scott wanted for this movie.
I think when he talks about layering, I don't think of those things as the layering. I think of the layering like when they walk past a newsstand, there are magazines there with titles that refer to things that would be happening in that world.
Sure, but I think this is a small example of what he meant. He meant a real, lived-in, looking and feeling, dirty...
Well, I think like the kinds of bottles he has, not the light coming in necessarily. I think of the light as something else.
No, but the objects that he fills the frame with are designed to either catch the light or block the light.
See, you confused me because I thought we were talking about the light. See,
Oh, no, no, I'm sorry. Not just the light.
I mean, you're now talking about the stuff in his apartment.
I thought that's what you said,
too. No, I'm just talking about how the light hits the things in his apartment and casts these long shadows how beautiful the light is, and you kind of...
I must have spaced out for a few seconds.
Probably did, because I mentioned how I don't watch... I watch it on a cell phone, so I don't see the stuff stacked up in the corners, and you only stuck to that point and didn't listen to the rest of any of it.
I didn't hear anything. Just something happened to my brain, I guess.
I've noticed sometimes when you're recording I've noticed when you go to edit, you'll run out into the living room and be like, oh, we said this awesome thing, and you tell me all these things you said, and I'm like, yeah, bro, I was there. I know how cool I am.
I come running into the living room. Sandra, did you know I was on this episode? I said a bunch of words from the start to the end of it. It's crazy, man. Okay, see you later. I gotta go edit myself out of the entire episode.
And then you edit 20 minutes of yourself going, dumb.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff.
Can you tell by our sound waves who's speaking anymore now? Or you could just tell my laugh or your laugh?
No, it's not the Matrix code. I can't see blonde, brunette, redhead. It's just the sound wave thing.
But you can tell which one's an right?
I could see my ums.
Can you tell when it's my cough?
Bam. Bam.
See it? Oh, it looks like a cup?
See my ? Anyway, So yeah, Deckard's apartment looks gorgeous. I can't take it, how beautiful it looks with the light streaming through, and you see all this.
I think those are my laughs.
Yeah, that was your laugh.
Do you see have it you often?
Never? You're fascinated by the computer screen.
I love this.
Never looked at the wave before.
I do sometimes. I don't stare at the way you do. I love when.
Do you want to sit in on me editing one day?
No. I love when people get the tattoo of like a heartbeat or someone they love saying, "I love you." Like, if I could get the sound wave of my dad saying cheetah, I would totally have that put on a picture on my wall.
I'm getting a tattoo, did I tell you?
You keep saying it, but you're not going to.
I'm
going to
get the origami unicorn under my
bicep.
You
should have them vote for what your tattoo should be.
No, because then they'll have me put a picture of your face on my butt.
And what is wrong? No, I don't want to be on your butt, because then I have to look at your poop every time you sit on the toilet.
You're going
to
watch my back. You're going to watch my butt.
No.
Yeah.
But yeah, if we could find cheetah, if him saying it. At some place.
Her dad used to call her Cheetah from Tarzan.
The monkey, yeah. If we could find him saying it, I totally would want it in a frame.
Okay.
Cheetah, the sound wave.
Okay.
Cheetah.
Oh, just the shape of his
of the of word. His voice. Yeah, the founders.
That's deep. That's pretty deep.
So getting back to this. So we see all this beautiful light with these shadows, and she says, Deckard?
Oh, I love the way you said it. I was going to say it.
You do it. Let's see if you
no,
can
no,
do it.
No, because the whole time, that's when I spaced out. Because I knew I had my next line from my next note. And I was going to talk about how Rachel says in this soft, beautiful voice, Deckard, you know those files on me, the INSEP dates. But I was like, but I shouldn't say that. Sandra should say it because we're looking for a beautiful...
Right there.
And I knew it. I knew you were going to swoop in and save the day, as always. So what does Deckard say?
I'd like to talk about how she only calls him Deckard.
Yes. As opposed to what?
She never calls him by his first name.
Oh, his first name's Rick. That's right. No one ever calls him Rick.
Rick.
Ricky.
Ricky. Ricky Bobby.
Ricky, I need your...
No, it's Bob. Deckard. So she goes, Deckard? And you have like this softness to it and a slight echo, because obviously they didn't record it on the soundstage and they recorded it in a booth somewhere. And it's all very far. And after she says it, he grabs a shirt. And she goes, you know those files on me? The INSEP date?
And that's where it ends. I wrote date and dates. Does she say date? She says date, right?
Incept date.
Yeah.
You know, her voice is very echoey in this. It's very doll-like and fragile. It sounds a little childlike.
How many Sean Young movies have we seen? I remember her from Ace Ventura.
Uh-huh.
I tried to watch something with her. I think it was called No Way Out, her and Kevin Costner. And I think before I could finish it, they took it off Prime. But I'm going to double-check that. She's fantastic in this movie. She's phenomenal. I know, and I know in the beginning of the season you were saying that you were wondering why she never got really famous, and then we realized we did a little more digging, and we found out some people say she's a little difficult to work with. Mm-hmm. Some people say that. So that might have affected the roles she got and didn't get moving forward, and then other problems she went through that were in the news in the 90s and 2000s or whatever. It's her business. But she's really, really fantastic in this movie. The way she commands a scene.
She's very tall, very upright in
these. She's making Harrison Ford seem like a helpless, weak little character right now. She looks gorgeous and powerful as she's walking through.
Well, we don't have her walking in this scene.
She doesn't walk over say, Deckard.
No,
even in the last minute when she walked over, and I was worried because of the music.
Why do you think they did the disembodied voice for her in this scene at the end where she's like, Deckard?
Well, why do you think that though?
And I'm asking, why do you think they have the voice and not her face? That her voice is all echoey and girly, and she's not in the scene at all, and she doesn't sound like she's there at all. It sounds almost like a voiceover.
Well, I don't understand. What else could there have been? Like a close-up of her face? A shot
like
of her
saying
it?
Like the way she was talking in the bathroom to him.
Well, isn't he doing something at this point? He's putting his Pac-Man shirt back on.
He walked into the room.
And poured himself a drink.
He had the drink. Well, yeah, he poured the drink.
He's pouring the drink.
He grabbed the shirt.
And while we're seeing him do this, we hear her talking. Mm-hmm. Deckard.
And she sounds like she's really far away.
Scopa.
Because that's not the way sound would carry in there.
You're right. It's the wide shot of the apartment that I was just talking about.
Did you forget what you were doing?
Yeah, completely. And he comes from the left of the screen,
mm-hmm.
and he's putting on a shirt, or just picking up the shirt at this point.
Yeah, it looks like a dirty shirt he picked up.
Right, and you hear her in the background. I'll tell you why. Because that shot is so gorgeous. The lighting is so peaceful and calming. That only her beautiful, delicate voice could match the beauty of the visuals.
Okay, but that's not what I'm asking.
Because they wanted the voice. They had a line that she was speaking, but they didn't want to break away from this gorgeous, peaceful shot. It's this very peaceful moment, and as she's asking this question, you're getting lost in the peaceful moment. Deckard's finally getting a peaceful moment. Remember he had one? So far he's had one peaceful moment on his balcony. And everything calmed down, and he was looking down at the hectic city. Like the thoughts that were in his head, hectic, driving, whizzing by. Everything's loud and fast-paced, but not him. Right now he's calm and having a drink. And again, he's calm, having a drink, and the light's coming in. It's almost like the light is taking him in and calming his nerves and his soul. And that's why you hear her, because he hears her. He only hears her. She's still back in the bathroom.
I know, but the way the voice carries just doesn't feel like that's how it would carry.
Are you talking from a technical standpoint?
Yeah.
Or? So why'd you let me go on the whole
rant
just
now? Because you don't like when I interrupt you.
And beauty and art and Harrison Ford.
Because you tell me not to interrupt you, and that's what I tried to say in the beginning. Like, that's not how it would sound in this room. And then you went on, I'll tell you why. Because the beauty of this can only be blah, blah, blah for 4 minutes. And I'm like, all right, let's just let him do his thing, man.
Yeah, no, but I like my thing. I'll go back.
But again, you're not answering my question. Why?
Oh, I clearly don't have an answer. That's why I just went on the whole bullshit rant for 3.5 minutes. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't understand movies. I don't know what these things are all about. You and your Blade Runners.
What are these things you're asking of me?
What was the question again? What did you say?
Just forget it.
All right, now
you forgot it anyway. Just move on.
That's it. It ends on a gorgeous shot of Rachel asking Deckard, "Do you know those files on me? The incept dates?" And then it stops. The minute stops. What do you think she's about to ask him?
Let's find out.
Forget it.
You should leave that.
I am. I'm going to leave this all in. Forget it. Okay. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you
next time.
We never see you, but you'll hear us next time. Bye. One more sigh, only this dear is goodbye, for our love is such pain.